This is Bustin' Loose in Faith with none other than Apostle Dudley Tebow and Prophetess Lisa Tebow. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a broadcast that brings you word and encouragement for your soul. We want you to remember that you don't have no worries. All you need is faith in God. Bustin' Loose in Faith airs Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Time. Now, without further ado, let's get into this broadcast. And may God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, all honor belongs to Him this day and forevermore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Father, as we're approaching the throne of grace, we come to you on and also when they die mighty hands today. Just thanking and praising for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Just thanking and praising you for who you are, that you are God. And besides me, there is no other to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, precious Father, I get out of the way that you may have your way today. Crown my head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I'm in behind Calvary's cross here today in the name of Jesus. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to come on in like a rushing mighty wind, lead, guide, direct, and ordain our footsteps. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We bind up all technical difficulties, anything that's trying to hinder the word of God from going forth in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Crown my head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Thank you for the answering prayers, honor and request, and most of all, for souls being saved for the kingdom of God to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. If you have the Bible, amen, I would like you to open it up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And also, we'll be looking at 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the B clause of the verse. And the word of God reads in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. All men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you that ye both do and will do, which we command you. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Also in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the B clause of the verse, it says, "But the Lord seeth not as man see. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." May the Lord have a blessing to the readers and to the doers of his word. But this is the word of God for the people of God here tonight. Hallelujah. God is good and merciful. He's gracious. He is a good God. He woke us up this morning. He sent us on our way. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dudley Tebow with Prophetess Lisa Tebow coming to you tonight in that name that's above every other name. And that is the name of Jesus. With Bustin' Loose in Faith Ministries, we thank God for the use of the internet that we are teaching and preaching on a local level, but we are reaching, hallelujah, on a global level. So we thank God for that privilege. We thank him for it this night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just as next to this, I would like you to pray for us and with us as we bring forth the word. Tonight I want to be talking about developing a heart for God, developing a heart for God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all those on the internet and those that are listening tonight and those that will be listening at a later date, developing a heart for God. Our society is obsessed with physical appearance. But here we see that in the book of 1 Samuel, hallelujah, God is talking about a man by the name of David. Even now in 2020, man placed a high price on the extremes while God examines deep within man for something more. In other words, man is concerned about the outward appearance. That's why they go to the gyms and pay admission for yearly admission for being able to have a place to go exercise, to tune up, so to speak. But God is not concerned about the outward appearance of man. He's concerned about the inner, the heart. Man judges one on the basis of one appearance or look. But God critiques and he judges the heart. In a biblical thought, the heart is the center organ that controls all activities, that determines one's character of living. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. When we look at David in a biblical sense, when you have time, read the whole chapter of 1 Samuel 16. You will notice that the prophet at the time, who was Samuel, after the death of Saul, there was another that God had in mind to take Saul's place. Hallelujah. And his name was David. David, for example, had a heart that was right towards God. As a child, David, little shepherd, heard, who became king of Israel, the second king, God's chosen one. David was the man that the prophet Samuel sought for and found to succeed Saul from the family of Jesse. Now, David had a good report of himself. His pedigree read that he was a mighty warrior. Everybody knows the story when David went and bring food to his brothers when Israel was fighting against the Philistines. David brought food and water to his brother on the front line. And when Goliath, the giant, made a challenge to the nation of Israel, David took upon the challenge. King Saul at the time wanted to give David his armor, but David told him no. He only had 5 stones and a slingshot. But David was proven. David was a shepherd boy who was tending his father's sheep. And when the bear and the lion came to attack the sheep, David killed them with his slingshot. Samuel sought out a man to take Saul's place. So he went again to the family of Jesse. Jesse had sons. He started out with the oldest one. And then he got down to everyone that was there at Jesse's household. Jesse turned around and the Lord quickened to him that he wasn't They wanted the one. So David asked Jesse if he had another son. And he said, yes, I do have a son by the name of David. He's young. He has taken care of the sheep. David's son, Samuel, told Jesse to send for David. And when David came, Samuel anointed him. Even though he was young, he anointed him to be king over Israel one day. David was also a valiant general in the army. He also was an inspired leader for the nation of Israel. He also was a skilled marksman, because as we know, when Goliath made the challenge, David ran towards him with his sling shot and a stone in it. And when he let it go, it went and hit the giant Goliath right between the eyes, and he fell to the ground. And David took his sword, Goliath's sword, and cut his head. David also was a gifted summoner, writer. The thing that impressed God the most about David was his heart. People of God, David allowed God to mold and fashion his heart into that which would be pleasing to God. My question tonight is, are you willing to let God mold and shape your heart so that your heart can be pleasing to him? You see, God focuses on our character more than our physical stature. God concentrated on David's integrity. So again, we are talking about developing a heart for God, a heart that is pleasing in God's eyesight. Again, when we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directed your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. God wants your heart directed to him. Developing a heart for God. Hear the word says in Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Child of God, your heart as a Christian, as a believer of Christ, is like a walled city with enemies on the outside. There are all the temptations of the world. That's the flesh and the devil that wants to come in from the outside to try to find a door to come into your heart. These are enemies on the outside of the walled city, your heart. So you must guard your heart against them, against all evil, against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So keeping the gates closed to anyone or anything that will lead you on a destructive path. It is our responsibility. That's why we must put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. The devil goes as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. In the Bible, where it says in John 10:10, that the thief come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So remember this, believer of Christ. Your heart has enemies on the outside, and your heart has traitors in the inside, because you live in this flesh. Something within you is always trying to draw you to sin. So you need to guard against the traitors in your own heart. You need to pray and ask the Lord to give you a spirit of discernment, that you be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God. God wants your heart directed to him. He wants to develop a heart for his use, a heart after him. Every heart is given to something or someone. I'm going to say that again. Every heart, every human heart, is given to someone or something. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. So people of God, the activities of the heart that is separated and not surrendered to God can cause pain and suffering in our lives as well as the lives of others. That's why it's so important for you individually as a believer of Christ to guard your heart. You see, when Jesus is reigning in your heart, the pattern of our life is to be blessed and not to be cursed. The pattern of our life is to be healed and not hurt. Yes, this is there. This is important to repeat. So, people of God, the activities of a person's heart that is separated and not surrendered to God can cause pain and suffering in our lives as well as the lives of others. So when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, when Jesus is reigning in our hearts, the pattern of our lives is to be blessed and not to be cursed. Also, the pattern of our lives as believers of Christ is to be healed and not to be hurt. Here in the book of Isaiah 29, verse 13, it says, wherefore the Lord said unto these people, approach me with their, wherefore the Lord said, these people approach me with their mouth to honor me with lip service, yet their hearts are far from me, and their worship consists of man-made rules learned by repetition and memorization. Remember what 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the B clause on the verse said, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So, people of God, when our worship for God is based on forms, religious duties, instead of intimate interaction with God's Holy Spirit and with His Holy Word, it is only lip service. What God wants from us is for our heart on a daily basis to have a relationship with Him of trust and obedience. People of God, when our worship individually as well as collectively is based only on forms and religious obligation instead of intimate interaction with God's Holy Spirit and His Holy Word, it is only lip service. What God really wants from us as His children, for our hearts on a daily basis to have a relationship with Him of trust and obedience. Yet 2 Samuel 15:22, the B clause of the verse, says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of the rams. So developing a heart from God. God wants your heart directed to Him. Giving God your heart, it means for you to give Him the desires in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So, people of God, it is possible, even today in 2020, it is possible in the power of the Holy Spirit to have your desires and habits changed by the Spirit of God. It means that your day-to-day conduct begins with your inner life of desire, which is changed by the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Yes, those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Word says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The A clause of the verse says, "Why is he thinking in his heart? So is he." So, child of God, what you believe is what directs your behavior. What you really believe in your heart will determine the type of relationship you have with God. Your trust or lack of trust, your communication or prayer are all determined by what you believe. Yes, we can say that we believe God on the outside from our lips, but our heart can be far from it. So that's why we have to guard our heart. That's why we have to make sure, as a child of God, what we believe is what will direct our behavior. What we really believe in our heart will determine the type of relationship we have with God our Father. You see, your trust or lack of trust, your communication, our prayer are all determined by what you believe. You know, the Word says in Hebrews chapter 1, It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And them that come to God must believe that he is who he say he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we are seeking him while he may be found. We are seeking the Lord, according to Matthew 6:33. But to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto us. So, child of God, we are living in a time where people in general, as well as some in the church, believe that the gospel is old-fashioned. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is true. The word of God will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall stand. Hallelujah. So developing a heart for God.
I need thee, oh,
and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory and honor. We thank God for all the ones that are listening, those that we will be tuning in at a later date. We just thank God for being able to come to the use of the internet, hallelujah, to be able to bring forth this teaching. We thank God for the anointing that is upon the word of God and the preparation that took place. We just thank God because, hallelujah, praying that those that will hear, that will bring forth encouragement to your soul. Hallelujah. So again, tonight we are talking about developing a heart for God. Thank you, Jesus. God wants your heart directed to him. Here in the book of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God wants us to be living sacrifices. And the only way that happens is to be transformed in our thought life. God doesn't just want us as believers of Christ to be saved from hell. He also wants us to change from hellish living. God wants us to be new and different people. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, he died to set us free. He shed his blood on Calvary for the remission of our sins. Jesus died to set us free from our old thoughts. Jesus died to give us, as followers of his, a heavenly mindset. So it is very vital for us to ask God to help us to think before we talk or act, because God wants your heart directed to him. Developing a heart for God is something it's our responsibility to do. Yes, we are saved as born-again believers. Yes, our sins have been forgiven. We have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. But we have to do our part. We have to obey. Not just hear the word, but be doers of God's word. You see, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in the heart of his people. God wants your heart because it is from the heart that the issues of life will flow. Believers of Christ, act of love directed by God only happens in the life of a person who thinks godly thoughts, who gave their life completely to God. You see, giving God your heart means giving him your emotional life as well. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 31 through 32, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The Apostle Paul is directing us to let go of every feeling or emotions, which is inconsistent with the love of God. You see, bitterness is caused when you are as a child of God, when we resent someone instead of forgiving them. When your emotions control you, you create a prison of your own feelings. I'm going to say that again. That's why it's so important that when someone offends us, go to the Lord, ask God to help you to forgive that person, because your emotions will control you and cause you to create a prison of your own feelings. You see, feelings, that's why it says that we are people that is led by the Spirit of the Lord, that we are people of faith and not people of feelings, because our feelings can get us in trouble. When we as believers of Christ allow the Holy Spirit of God to control our emotions, then we have freedom that God promises that passes all understanding. Yes, people of God, as long as we are angry or malicious, mean toward another person, they are in control and we are in chains. Let me say it again. Believers of Christ, people of God, as long as we are angry, bitter, or mean, malicious towards another person, they are in control and we are in chains. We are bound up because we have to make it right. We have to be the bigger one and ask for forgiveness. Go to them, ask them for forgiveness. And if they don't want to forgive, you done did your part. Bring someone with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go by two and try to reconcile with that person, because God wants your heart directed to Him, developing a heart for God. You see, giving God your heart means giving Him your decision in life's decision, which determines destiny. Giving God your heart means giving Him your decision in life, because decisions determine destiny. Believers of Christ, it is what you decide that will determine where you will spend all of eternity. If you decide to believe on Jesus Christ and you accept His free forgiveness for sin, and you submit your life totally to Christ and live for Him until Jesus come back, you will live in heaven, now and forever. But on the other hand, if you decide to ignore what God did in Jesus Christ, you will live in hell, now and forever. It's our choice. It's our decision to make. You see, people of God, decisions are based off of information obtained. Here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3, it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knewest not." You see, decisions made are easy when you allow God to direct you. Giving God your heart, developing a heart for God. When you give your heart to God, total and complete, be prepared for big things to happen in your life. You see, God wants your whole heart. He don't want just part of it. He wants all of it. Time and time again, God is saying, I do not want your sacrifices. I do not want your religious festivals. I do not want your religious going through the motions to please me. No, what I want is your heart passionately longing for me. I'm going to repeat that. God is saying, even now, in 2020, he wants your whole heart. Time and time again, God is saying to his people, God is saying to people in general, I do not want your sacrifices. I do not want your religious duties or religious festivals. I do not want your religion, you going through the motion to please me. No, what I want is your heart passionately longing for me. God wants your heart directed to him. So developing a heart for God is something that we as a child of his should strive for. So people of God, our physical heart is positioned by God to provide us with protection from destructive, eternal, external forces. Again, here in the book of Proverbs, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Yes, brothers and sisters in Christ, our spiritual heart is susceptible to all kinds of harmful influences that might jeopardize its integrity. So guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. People of God, sometimes we'll allow success to crowd our heart with things and signs of accomplishment. It tends to puff up our heart with counterfeit accolades, which causes us to say, look what I've done. Also, selfishness can shrink our heart to where there is only room for me, myself, and mine. Another thing that, hallelujah, that can dry up the heart is slothfulness with laziness, inactiveness, and lack of service. So people of God, you see, the heart is like love. It functions to maximum capacity as it pumps out service to others. Another thing that will harden the heart is sin. Sin hardens the heart to the things in life that really matters. Also, stress breaks the heart by placing unnecessary demands on it. The heart can crumble under the pressure of life. So, child of God, each destructive force is like a disease that must be held in check. God wants you. He wants your heart directed to Him. Developing a heart for God is not as difficult as it may sound. It involves concerning our heart with the concern of God's heart. Ask God during your time of prayer and fasting, while you in your prayer closet, ask God to give you a heart after Him, a heart of love, compassion, a heart that is willing to serve. So, child of God, be humble always in spite of your success. You see, we can learn from David, the one who became successful and still had a heart for God. You remember David, the shepherd boy? He rose to success to become the second king in the nation of Israel. God's chosen one. God used David, hallelujah, because he had a heart after God's heart. So, child of God, in order to keep success from crowding God out of your heart, you must keep your heart in check. The antidote used is humility. You see, humility is not lowliness. No, one does not have to be a doormat to humankind to be humble. Humility is simply realizing the grace and mercy of God. God's grace and mercy is needed and desire. God's grace and mercy. Hallelujah. He gives us grace and mercy on a daily. Perhaps the ultimate test for your heart after God is, how do you handle success? The greatest time of our character is not through adversity, but in prosperity. Here in the book of Psalms 34, verse 3, it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." You see, the antidote against the selfishness is the exaltation of God. Because whereas selfishness, it shrinks the heart, the exaltation of God expands the heart, and it creates room for God. Believers of Christ, always be mindful of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And be, make yourself available to do God's service. Remember this always, child of God, that the antidote for slothfulness is service. Sloth will dry up the heart, but service opens the floodgate of life, given resources in order to bring energy and power to one's heart and devotion to God. The antidote for slothfulness is service. Sloth will dry up the heart, but service to others will open a floodgate of life-giving resources in order to bring energy and power to one's heart and devotion to God. Yes, God wants our availability before he wants our ability, even though he wants both. So have you made yourself available to God as a child of his? Developing a heart for God. God wants your heart directed to him. You see, God alone knows the heart because he searches it out. He searches in order to reward a person, a believer of Christ, according to their conduct and according to what their deeds deserve. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, the word of God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God wants and needs a circumcised heart, a heart that has been willing to change heart. So we must, therefore, open up our hearts to God by removing all reservation, covering secrets and unbelief. Only when we circumcise our heart can we be obedient and walk in the ways of the Lord. You see, our heart is designed in such a way that it can grow any type of seed, whether good or bad. Here in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 34, it says, For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yes, remember David. Like I said from the beginning, David, a man after God's own heart. David, for example, David's heart was right towards God. Even as a child, David was skinny, a little shepherd boy who was tending to his father's sheep. And through success in life, after being anointed by the prophet Samuel, David became the second king of the nation of Israel. David was the man that prophet Samuel sought and found to succeed Saul. David came out of the family of Jesse. David was a mighty warrior, an advanced general, an inspired leader, and a skilled marksman, and a gifted song writer. But the things that impressed God the most about David was his heart. So people of God, just like David, let us allow God to mold and fashion our heart into that which would be pleasing to him. Because God focused on our character more than our physical stature. God concentrate on our integrity, developing a heart for God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all those that listen in and those that will be listening at a later date, we just hope and pray there was something that we said, sort of teaching tonight, that will encourage you and inspire you to go on a little bit further, even during this time of pandemic, even though this time of being hallelujah, in quarantine, God is still able. He's still in the soul-saving business. God bless you. God keep you. Hallelujah is my prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, bless God. If you'd like to get in touch with Apostle Dudley Tebow and Prophetess Lisa Tebow, you can reach us at P.O. Box 92864, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70509. Again, in order to, if you would like to get in touch with Dudley Tebow or Lisa Tebow for Bustin' Loose and Faith Ministries, you can reach us at P.O. Box 92864, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70509. Have a blessed night and a blessed weekend. We just hope and pray God's will and Jesus' tarry that we'll be here in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Pray for us as we pray for you. God bless.